Welcome, everyone, to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. With me today, I have Jason Jackson, president of the Migratory Waterfowl Hunters, Inc. Jason, welcome to the show.
Aaron, thanks for having me, man.
It's a pleasure.
Absolutely.
So you have been with the Migratory Waterfowl Hunters, Inc. for quite some time. How long have you been involved?
Yeah, so I've been on the board of Migratory for the last 5 years, served as a board member for, 2 years, vice president for 1 year, and I'm in my second term as president.
Killing it. That's awesome.
Yeah, something like that.
I like it. What drew you to Migratory Waterfowl Hunters?
You know, just growing up here local, hunting public land. I hunt Calhoun Point over in the southern tip of Calhoun County. And just a lot of the older guys that were running the organization were getting older, and there was not a lot of young blood stepping up. My vice president, Chance Ketchum, who was supposed to join us, but he was near, he finally came up to me and was just like, hey, you know, I'm involved in this organization. They've been around for 70 years. The board and the members are getting older. They're getting tired of running all the events and doing everything. And, you know, there's going to come a time whenever we're going to need someone to take over this. And we really need to step up and try getting some younger people. So he talked me into joining. I joined, and then I joined the board the year after. And then I kind of just, me and him just kind of moved up the board. Now I'm the president and he's the vice president.
Awesome. That's pretty cool that you guys grew together with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me a little bit more about MWHI is what you call it, an acronym.
So it's the oldest nonprofit waterfowl organization in the state of Illinois. Just celebrated our 70th year. We have around 800 members. And we do a lot for the local public waterfowl hunting areas, mainly everything that's managed and controlled by the Rosedale office, Mississippi River Valley office there in Rosedale.
Okay. So you've got a close relationship with the DNR then?
Yeah. We work heavily with the DNR, on projects, rules, regulations, duck blind draws, some good, some bad, you know, sometimes it gets ugly. But we've had to, you know, fight for certain rights. We recently just got in a big battle with the state of Missouri over them taking away the public duck blinds over in West Alton up to Clarksville. So it's things like that that we run into that, you know, we stand up for the public hunter and all of our money goes back into our local hunting areas, not something across the country or across the state. It's right here in the Tri-County area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So is this like a one chapter organization?
It is. It's a one chapter organization. We do have some chairmen for other areas. We recently just worked with the Carlisle Lake Waterfowl Hunters Association and the Delta Waterfowl Chapter out of Vandalia, Illinois, on the Carlisle Lake Refuge move. The three organizations, including ourselves and our chairman Justin Wolf, got together. And they made a proposal to move the waterfowl refuge inside Carlisle Lake. Justin serves as our chairman for Carlisle Lake. So he lives here, but hunts Carlisle Lake. But we still give resources to that because we have members that frequent both areas. So we just did a joint effort with those three organizations in an attempt to relocate the refuge at Carlisle Lake.
Okay. All right. There's a website that I went to. What's your website for your organization?
Yeah, so the website for our organization is MWHI.us. On there, you'll find all kinds of stuff. There's newsletters. Our special events are on there. There's even a link to sign up for membership. You can pay online, join. We have a really good membership program. It's like $5 a year right now to join, and we have some $50 lifetime memberships going on just to get our membership numbers back up. So we made it really affordable for the everyday guy to join and be involved with our organization.
So I briefly went by the website, mm-hmm. and I went to the About Us just mm-hmm. to try and learn more. The list of things that y'all have done, Migratory Waterfowl Hunters, Inc., is it it was on the borderline of unbelievable.
It's pretty impressive, man. You know, 70-year organization, so they've been involved in a lot of things. Obviously, with my tenure here, we've been facing things like COVID and some stuff where we couldn't get in person and go to the state and couldn't have in-person meetings. So with me being president, it's been a little weird with trying to get in front of people or help do things. But just notably right now, one of the biggest projects that Migratory influenced was the Pisol project that's going on the River Road right now. If you see the dredge going up and down the River Road from Cliff and Terra stoplights up past Lock Haven and up the River Road, that was a joint project with Migratory, Great Rivers Land Trust, the Alton Motorboat Club, and the Corps of Engineers. That was a 20-year fight, or I wouldn't say a fight, but that was a 20-year effort to get that project approved, and it finally kicked off April 23. Kicked off. So a little bit over a year and a half old, and it's still going on. So, yeah, projects like that that take 20 years to get established.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, you know, a lot of the stuff we're seeing now was put in front by our older members who, some of them have even passed, that didn't even get to see, you know, the results of their work. But these are 20-year-old, you know, projects that started back in the late 90s or early 2000s that are now taking place now.
That's a pretty impressive mix of, you know, generations, if you will, that have to be working together.
And organizations. I mean, you got a private boat club, you got a Great Rivers Land Trust, which is almost, you know, not anti-hunting, but they're big nature conservatives. And then they're working together hand in hand with the hunting organization, and you have the Corps of Engineers. So it's kind of cool whenever you're able to bring, you know, all kinds of parties together and work together and kind of put everybody's, you know, feelings and thoughts aside just to create a better outcome, you know. So it's definitely a cool project.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then how do you guys raise funds?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a couple big fundraising events every year. Our biggest fundraising event every year is our banquet. We have the banquet in the spring, and the banquet usually generates somewhere around $30,000 to $40,000 in one evening. And then we have a golf tournament every May that usually nets around $10,000 for our organization. And then the rest of it's just funded through membership. So a lot of that money goes right back into the public hunting area. Last year, we paid for all of the corn for the Carlisle walk-in areas and refuge to get planted. That was about $9,000. So that money goes right back in. The state didn't have the money. They had some funding stuff going on. And they came to us. We were able to pay for the fertilizer. Another organization paid for the seed, and we were able to get the corn planted for duck season in Carlisle last year. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's big time.
Yeah, man, it's fun. You know, and it's fun to watch some of this stuff come, you know, come together and watch everybody benefit from it. You know, obviously you can't make everybody happy, but we do our best to listen to what we can, and we go with what the majority says, and we just try our best to, you know, put the best step forward. So,
okay. How many members are, what's the membership like?
Yeah. Currently? So we're getting ready to break 800.
Awesome.
So 800 members. A lot of them are lifetime members. A lot of them are 30, 40, 50 year old members. So we have some really old members, but, you know, when I came onto the board, Chance and myself were probably the youngest on the board. And now I'm pushing towards one of the oldest. You know, I got two or three guys above me that are older, but we've really filtered in a lot of the young guys, some of our friends, people that saw what we were doing, what we were involved in, and they jumped right in, man. And, you know, our board's really, really, really becoming a younger generational board, which is nice because that means we have a lot of years ahead of us. So,
yeah, a lot of years ahead. You get a good head around technology, which is important in today's day and age. Absolutely. A lot of good things there. Okay, so you've been doing this a long time yourself, just as a member. What have been some of the most memorable projects for you?
Yeah, I think the most memorable one out of all this has just been me and Chance putting together a golf tournament. When we came in the board, the golf tournament wasn't there, and we were looking for another fundraising event for the club outside of our banquet because COVID hit us pretty hard, and it's not easy to have a banquet with COVID.
Right.
So we got hit pretty hard with that year, and we were really just kind of putting our heads together, and we both were like, well, you know, let's have a golf tournament. So Chance and myself and our wives just put our heads together and created a solid golf tournament. And now, I guess we just celebrate our fourth or fifth year of it. And it sells out every year. There's a waiting list every year. Everybody has a great time, no complaints. And I think that's probably the most memorable thing about me being on this board was that, because we've created, you know, something from nothing. And now we have a great, you know, benefit that everybody looks forward to every year.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
And what golf course is that held at?
We had it at Lock Haven 2 years. The last 2 years have been at the Woodlands Golf Club in Alton. And I don't know what we're going to do this year. We try to move it around, but our membership's so spread out. So we have members from Springfield to Staunton, Missouri, St. Charles. I mean, out west Missouri, Southern Illinois. We have members everywhere. But we try to kind of space it out to help everybody. But I'm not sure where we're going to go this year, but it'll probably be somewhere in the Tri-County area.
Okay. Outstanding. Well, folks, we're going to take a break to have a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, guys, this is Jonathan Prane with Tarrant Harmon Real Estate Auction and Outdoor Properties. We will have an online auction coming to Jersey County. It's 47.83 total acres. Bidding opens on August 10th and ends August 19th. We're selling this property in three tracks: 25 tillable, a 13 residential development, and another 9-acre tillable tract. For more information, visit bid.tarrantandharmon.com or give me a call, Jonathan Prane, 618-225-0568.
And welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. And I have with me Jason Jackson, president of Migratory Waterfowl Hunters, Inc. Jason, during the break, you were telling me you like to do a little catfishing.
Absolutely, man. Born and raised on the Mississippi River, so I've been known to catfish. Time or two.
That's outstanding. You did a little guiding, you said?
Yeah, so I've fished my whole life, and then about 2016... My tournament partner started a pretty successful guide service in St. Louis called Show Me Catfishing. Everybody, if you've been around the catfish scene or you follow the catfish scene, you've probably seen Ryan's he's pretty TikTok famous. But he got pretty big and was overbooked, and I went and got my captain's license out in Virginia, and came back, because you do have to have a captain's license to guide on a navigable waterway. So went out there, got my license, came back, and started guiding for him. At the time, I was working shift work, so I had a lot of days off during the week. And days off, I just guided catfish with him.
All right. And so, you park the boat guy, or are you a floating bump type guy?
Nah, man. So, kind of funny about that. So, you know, let's talk about that first real quick. So, anchoring and bumping are like really obviously two different things, but you can only catch catfish bumping when the water temperature hits 60 degrees. Anything below 60 degrees, at least blue cats, especially flatheads, but they get real lethargic. They won't chase a bait. So unless you absolutely bump them in the head, and most of the time they won't even eat then, they won't bite. So obviously in the winter and early spring and stuff, we do a lot of anchor fishing, and obviously in the summertime we do a lot of bumping, and you know, we were probably one of the original people to ever bump the Mississippi River, and at least in our area. I'm not going to say everywhere, because the guys down south been doing it for 20 years, believe it or not. They used to use old 9.9s and slow the bolt down. And so this was before we had big trolling motors. And so, yeah, no, I do a lot of bumping, and even designed some bumping rods, and yeah, man, fished a lot of tournaments, fished every body of water almost that a blue cat's in, about every river system I think a blue cat's in. And yeah, it was a pretty fun ride. I took the last 3 or 4 years off, just been working on some other stuff, and just kind of needed a little break from the traveling and the hustle and bustle of it. And the flood of 19 kind of wore me out a little bit, not being able to go out there. So I figured it was a good time to take a break. So
a sign from above.
Yeah, that's right. Time to chill out a little bit.
Tell us those rods.
Yeah. So we were always using we started out using big fiberglass rods and we couldn't feel nothing. We were getting snagged every 20 minutes. And then we were like, this ain't going to work. So then, believe it or not, they do back bouncing for walleyes up north, where they back bounce the streams up there for walleyes with some small split shots. Well, they use these graphite St. Croix rods to feel the bottom. And so we ordered a bunch of them and we were like, man, this worked out pretty good. So obviously the bumping thing picked up and everybody started seeing what everybody was doing. And then the rod companies caught on and they're like, we better get involved in this game. So I had a rod company approach me and was like, hey, can you help us design one of these? We're in North Carolina and we don't bump out here. And I was like, yeah. So we started talking with their rod company and building different blanks. And I probably got 10 of them in my basement that we've trial and errored over the years that broke or had something we didn't like on them. But, yeah, so they're still in manufacture. They're Big Cat Fever is the name of the company. They sell them at Bluff City and Alton. They're nationwide. They're probably the biggest catfish rod company out there. So, yeah, I designed that bumping rod. So I got some kind of claim to fame.
That's awesome. Yeah, that is awesome, man. Well, with all this catfishing, is there time for waterfowl?
Yeah, man. I always told everybody when they asked me why you catfish so much, I said, that's what gets me through the off season. that was my getaway, right? Because the river, I true blue waterfowl hunter. And like once February came, I was like, well, now what am I going to do? So, I started catfishing to pass the time. So everybody's like, man, yeah, catfish. And I'm like, catfishing's a side hobby. Yeah.
So how old were you when you started hunting?
Man, I've been hunting my whole life. My family owned a 150 acre farm, Northern Macoupin County, up by Palmyra, and grew up deer hunting, turkey hunting up there. And then I went to college in Jacksonville, so it was only a 30-minute ride. So I'd get out of class and I'd sneak into the deer stand when I was in college almost every day. It was awesome. So really started with deer hunting in my early life. My dad deer hunted. He didn't waterfowl hunt. And then in high school, I got into waterfowl hunting, got into chasing geese in local cornfields. And then, man, it was like the needle stuck in the arm, man. It was over. It just took over deer hunting. And, man, I ain't deer hunted in, man, I'm going to say 12 years probably now. So, yeah, it's a full-on waterfowl deal now. It's not cheap. So you either go all in or you don't go in at all. So
right. It's something that can be captivating. I know I do more snow goose hunting than anything. And when it's snow goose season,
it's pretty addicting.
I mean, I love shooting birds. I get a little time off, do some honker hunting in January. Mm-hmm. And then, with the deer season, it's just hard to get away to do some good waterfowl stuff. But
yeah,
I try and make it out when I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
But man, when it's waterfowl season, you just can't think about anything else.
Well, usually that's why I kind of like waterfowl hunting, because when the deer are rutting, nobody's hunting, so we got the whole areas to ourselves.
Well, that's why you want them clean, right?
And then you got a couple shotgun seasons in the middle of the rut, and then you got a good 3 weeks there from like middle of November through Thanksgiving that, man, there ain't nobody waterfowl hunting. And that's usually our prime waterfowl hunting. So hey, I'm not complaining. They keep killing deer. That's fun.
Right. I was gonna say, on a good year, that's when most of the birds are coming in,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, man, I'm good with it. Keep on deer hunting.
Yeah. So as you talk about all the hunting and public hunting areas, I understand you got a big cleanup coming.
Yeah. So our organization obviously works for the public hunter, right? So we work hand in hand with the DNR and try to improve our public hunting areas. You know, we're really on a mission right now to give back to the area as much as possible. We're working to, whether it's pump equipment, fuel, seed. I mean, if they need equipment, period, we're offering help to them. And one thing they're struggling with is manpower. I mean, that's everybody. And the DNR is no different. And so they just don't have the manpower to keep up with a lot of these areas. And I said, well, we got 800 members. I don't see why we couldn't get 30 or 40 guys together on a Saturday and clean these areas up before duck season. So August 24th, I think it is, at 8 a.m., we're meeting at every public waterfowl hunting area in the MRA. So from Riprap all the way to Calhoun Point, there will be a migratory representative there. We have dumpsters at every site, and we're just going to clean up blind materials, clean up any trash in the water, bring weed eaters, clean up literally anything we can and get the areas ready for duck season. That way our DNR staff can focus on getting the areas ready and not doing, you know, park cleanup.
That's outstanding. That's awesome. And then after your cleanup event, you have your next meeting coming up.
Yep. So if anybody's really interested in what migratory is about, or if you're a, you know, previous member that maybe hasn't been active in a long time, we'd love to have you. Our next meeting is September 24th. It's at 7 o'clock at the Alton Wood River Sportsman's Club. Good thing about the meetings is we always provide dinner. So it's free dinner, at least if you come. And the best thing about it is, you know, our memberships are cheap. We have a pretty good membership package going on. I think it's like $50 for a lifetime membership or $5 a year. And even if you're not a member, I welcome you to at least come to one meeting and see what it's all about. We're going to be doing some nominations for some new board members that night and getting ready for the hunting season. So if you hunt the MRAs and are interested on what's going on with the state or the areas, it'd be a good meeting to attend. It's always our most popular meeting.
Okay. So if you're busy August 24th for the cleanup and you don't have a babysitter September 24th for the next meeting, you can always go join by going to the MWHI.us to become a member.
Yep, absolutely. There's a spot on there. You can pay online, and we'll mail you your membership card and everything from there.
Okay, and then you had said Facebook's a big following.
Yeah, so we have a huge following on Facebook, man. I think we're up to like 3,000 or 4,000 followers now. It's kind of crazy, but it's Migratory Waterfowlers, Inc. on Facebook, or it's facebook.com/ Migratory Waterfowl Hunters, Inc. So check us out on those. We do have a quarterly newsletter we mail out to all of our members, but if you're not a member and you're just looking to keep up with the local DNR rules, state laws, anything that changes, cleanup days, special events, check out our Facebook page. We keep it updated almost weekly with all kinds of new information.
Awesome. Well, Jason, thank you so much for coming by.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Come back, talk catfishing soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hunting and fishing, loving every day. I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes, let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day, that's the prayer this country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting and fishing and loving every day. Black coffee in the morning,